Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 227, recorded on October 10th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
I'm doing quite well. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Better now, because like earlier in the week, I was really sick. Still a little residual.
And the temperature has probably gone down for you, right?
Yeah, today it was warm. Been warm.
Yeah, it's been hot up here. I actually turned on the heater today.
No, you didn't.
I did, yeah.
Dude.
That's crazy talk.
That is crazy talk. That's still too warm up here for that.
You mean down there?
Or down here.
Yeah.
Yes, rather.
You're closer to the sun down there.
Is that what it is?
All I know.
I think that's what it is. I guess a couple hundred miles makes a difference.
The high was 81 today.
Okay, yeah, the high here. Everybody wants to know what the weather's like in California. It was a high of 70 here.
And you had to turn on the heater? What is wrong with you?
It was much cooler earlier, and I just decided, you know what? Perfect opportunity to make sure the heater still works this season.
Yeah, see, our low is 60.
Okay, so anyway.
That's not cold. Didn't you come from someplace that gets much colder than... It was probably 50 when you turned on the heater, you wuss.
Yeah, I turned into a giant baby 2 weeks after I moved.
Yeah. that's what happens when you get to California. Weather wimps.
Yeah, exactly. I turned into one. So, Apple has some exciting news for us coming up, and I guess this is the pre-exciting news.
Is it exciting?
News.
Do we know it's exciting?
Well, the October 16th event, they're calling it, it's been exciting. Way too long.
We think it's exciting.
So... The invite, is that kind of a jokey, it's been way too long because it's only been a month? Is that what they're hinting at? That's got to be what it is, right? That can't be referencing anything else.
I've been making jokes about that ever since the invite came out. And I think it would be totally awesome if it turned out that it really was just a joke. Like, hey, it's just been so long.
Yeah, like, you know, you're at a party and you say goodbye to a friend and then you run back in the door because you forgot your keys and you see him again and you say, oh, it's been so long, that kind of thing.
Here's right. An interesting theory, right? Because the logo that's sort of shown, a lot of people pointed out, seems to look or be similar or be exactly the same thing as the top of that 30th anniversary edition of Mac.
Yeah.
Poster that they did.
That's true.
And something that's long overdue, we talked about this a little bit on the Mac show this morning. Something that's long overdue for a little love, a little upgrade is the Mac Mini.
Huh.
Which, in my mind, is probably the closest thing Apple has left in its lineup. I guess you could argue maybe the iMac is. But closest thing to sort of the original Mac, iMac, you know, that kind of that entry level Mac that people might get into.
Right. Yep.
Maybe.
So
I don't know. That seems like it's reading too far into it, but
what? Well, but it's due. So it'd be cool if they totally redesigned the Mini using some of the things they've learned from things like the MacBook Air and specifically the Mac Pro. And we got a kind of a little
A mini cylindrical mini?
Yeah.
Or a mini cylindrical pro?
Yeah, like a little coffee cup size or something.
They could call it the mini mug.
They could call it the teacup.
I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, that would be fun.
Teacup Mac, like a teacup pig?
Sure. Cute little thing.
Yeah, but they get bigger. Watch out. They don't stay teacup for long.
I don't know. They have to take something that they haven't done and sort of totally redesign it, you know, like reinvent. And it seems like it'd be a great time to reinvent the entry-level Mac, especially with the popularity of iPads and iPhones sort of eating into that traditional Windows PC market to a certain degree, right? I guess I should say eating in, but, you know, there's people that have PCs that have Apple products now in the form of iPhones or iPads, but they may still, maybe are still PC users for one reason or another, most likely because of cost and price. And so if Apple were to put out a really compelling entry-level model at this point, I think they could start to convert some computer people, more people over to Macs, and that would again be getting back to sort of their roots. It's been, you know, so it could also play into, it's been way too long since they've done sort of Mac level stuff. You know, they've been doing all this iOS stuff, and we know we're going to get iPads at this event. You know, it's not to say they're not going to be there, but you know, if something needs some love, it's, you know, the desktop Mac.
Yeah.
So I would say Mac Minis and iMacs are the thing that, you know, are probably going to be the big deal there. Because, you know, the iPad's going to be a rev. It's not going to be any, you know, here's Touch ID on the iPad and here's, you know, some upgrades there. I think that one of the latest rumors is I saw something about an iPad HD.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some code in iOS 8, one of the latest betas, and we were going to jump to that, but
I don't have the notes in
Retina,
front of me, right?
Yeah, so you're being a button, just throwing us off track. There's code in the latest beta. I'm not sure that what I'm seeing is just 3x iPad assets, image assets, but I think that's all it is. But that's not surprising.
Retina HD display iPad. That seems too soon for that, right?
It seems too soon for that. Yeah.
That would be like an iPad Pro, iPad Plus, whatever we're calling it, feature. And I really don't think that's happening.
I don't think anybody would care at this point. It's not something where it's not like the jump from standard density to retina density, where there were a lot of people that I was hearing from, people who just aren't tech people, saying, oh, I'm waiting for the Retina iPad. I don't hear any of that.
So, yeah, and I guess the point that I'm coming to, and I sort of been thinking about this today, is I'm thinking everybody thinks this is going to be a big iPad event, and I think there are going to be iPad updates, but I think the bigger focus is going to be back on the Mac. The two areas where I would think they would focus would be iMac and Mac Mini.
Yeah, it's been a while since there's been a rev on the iMac, right? And even longer since there's been a rev on the Mini.
Right.
What about the Apple TV?
We haven't had a rev on the Mac Pro at all.
Well, nobody cares about the Mac Pro. I mean, Apple doesn't care about the Mac Pro. Right?
I'm assuming they care a little bit.
Somewhat.
I mean,
there's somebody there who cares about it. Yeah.
So maybe the now that the Apple TV isn't a hobby, maybe the Mac Pro can be a hobby.
Yeah, it's been about a year since the Mac Pro update.
A Mac Pro release, right? Not even update.
Yeah. So 114 days since the iMac update, the last update, right? So why are we thinking it's not a... why are we thinking there's updates soon? Just because we've heard rumors about it?
Updates to...
the iMac.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Mini. I think 717 days
we've
on
been,
the Mini.
And,
why are we talking about Macs on this
5K,
show?
Sorry.
We started talking about Macs.
Earlier.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was saying a 4K, 5K iMac rumor... Well, the 4K iMac rumor's been out, or Retina HD iMac, or whatever you want to call it. You know, super high resolution iMac rumor's been around for forever.
Yeah.
And then we've been hearing most recently about this 5K iMac. So I think we're due for that. I mean, we've seen the code references in OS X. We've seen, you know, that stuff's been floating around for so long now, and that's really overdue. So I think we're going to get a 27-inch 5K iMac. But again, I don't expect huge design changes in terms of like the form factor. You know, it's going to be better Haswell processors, all that fun stuff. But, you know, nothing through the roof. I guess change in the GPU is one rumor, right? That they're going to switch from.
Well, if they're going to a display with that kind of resolution, I would hope they have a better GPU.
No, but moving from what are they using now? They flip-flop back and forth all the time between AMD and NVIDIA. I think moving back to AMD from NVIDIA, the current ones use NVIDIA.
Do they use NVIDIA?
I don't remember.
I like NVIDIA. I'm an NVIDIA fan.
Now I'm going to look up MacTracker because I can never remember. They flip-flop back and forth all the time, right?
Yeah, I'm opening MacTracker too, but...
I should open it just so that we have a little trifecta.
I think what they're saying is the 5K is going to use a new AMD processor and not
it
and
is.
Move away from NVIDIA.
That's going to be a kind of expensive Mac with that display.
Yeah, it would be. NVIDIA, they're currently on NVIDIA.
Yeah.
So you think they're going to be switching? Because I guess
that's
they do that.
That's the rumor. That's the rumor. I, you know, that doesn't...
Yeah, whatever.
If they switch, it doesn't surprise me because they switch back and forth all the time.
It would be more... Yeah, they do. It's like almost every other model. It'd be more interesting if we were able to talk about them switching to... what am I thinking?
But this is the iOS
ARM
show.
Architecture.
Talking, huh?
If they were talking about switching to ARM architecture, that would be interesting. I think it's just a matter of years before...
Well, they could switch to ARM on, you know, potentially, this would be a huge one, but, you know, it'd be interesting if they revved the Mac Mini with ARM, with an ARM processor.
Yeah, it's just a matter of making sure that you have all the instruction sets in there to run OS X.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a very clever place to start sliding into an ARM architecture,
mm-hmm.
because the performance expectations aren't as high anyhow, so
right.
you have some wiggle room.
Yeah, yeah.
It lowers the cost. Could you imagine a sub $500?
If they could get it to $500 again, that would be awesome because that was
the
original
lower.
Mini. Yeah, sure, certainly lower would be great. But I guess so. The primary advantages to switching to ARM would be inexpensive. Power savings, which would make it good for a
low heat.
Desktop,
they could probably almost get to fanless if they're doing SSD
they could do fanless,
and
sure.
ARM processor. They could do a fanless Mac Mini.
And I think the greatest benefit for Apple moving to ARM for their desktops for their OS X machines would be that they have significantly more control over the production of those chips.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I think that's obviously what Apple loves to do is have total
keep in mind
control over everything.
I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No,
but
no.
It would
now
be
this is just full speculation right now.
Not even speculation. It's just like, wow, wouldn't this be interesting?
I think they're working towards it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, obviously,
it's not going to happen on the 16th.
No.
I do
expect
a rev to the Mac Mini, though.
Yeah,
or they kill it.
What about the Apple TV? Anything about the Apple TV? Apple TV? Any whisperings of Apple TV rev at all?
Apple TV is so jacked up right now.
They don't know what to do with it.
Oh no, I think they know exactly what they want to do with it. It's just no one wants to play with them.
No one wants to play with them? What do you mean?
Nobody wants to play with Apple.
Yeah,
nobody wants
the content
to play
providers.
Oh, yeah.
Apple's screwed, you know, every which way by content. And that product is so reliant on content that there's really not much they can do.
Yeah,
you know, and they've resolved themselves to doing the stupid channel thing, which peeves me off because it's so in the wrong direction.
Yeah, every time they add a new channel, it's, okay, I'm going to go click on it because I know it's going to ask me to type in, go to a website, type in a code, sign in, tell it that you have Xfinity. Oh, wait, we don't, even though you have Fox and an Xfinity, we don't offer it. But I don't think that's the issue with Fox. I think maybe NBC or something like that.
I had one of those, though.
It's really dumb. But anyway.
You know, the whole point of having an Apple TV is so you don't have to have cable.
Isn't it
right.
great? That's why you have to have friends who don't have Apple TVs but do have cable and let you use their passwords. That's the way to do it.
Like that would ever happen.
I don't think anybody's ever thought of that or done it. Certainly never done it.
Yeah, I'm certain you're right.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So let's move to, let's re-rail.
iPad speculation.
Let's go to iPads. Yeah. Oh, you opened the show notes.
I did.
So they're from the website Geek Bar. They think they found, they have shared a picture.
Where do these rumors, can we take a pause here?
I know, okay, yeah. Where do they
Why
come
is it like every week we get new rumors from these sites that are just like out of nowhere?
Yeah, anointing these new rumor sites? I have no idea. I think we're just old and we don't pay attention anymore.
Well, I'm wondering if some of these sites, they're like, oh, we have to stay ahead of Apple or they're going to figure us out. And so they run under one name and then change to another name. And so it seems like we have all these new sites coming along and it's just the same one with different names.
It's just weird, Ian. It's funny because it's like we get these rumors and then they get reported by, you know, sites that I trust. But they're sourced to like some random site. Like,
right.
Where did these guys get? You know, how do these guys have moles inside of Apple? Maybe it's the kind of thing where it's just random employees and they're like, I don't want Apple to catch me. I'm going to have my cousin register this odd domain and we'll.
Yeah, I like
we'll
that
leak
one.
The news under that.
That's my favorite.
That's idea. Actually pretty plausible.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, 2 gigabytes of RAM in the iPad is what's rumored here. They have
just
photos.
The last iPad.
Well, they have photos of chips that I guess look like the old chips.
What's an Elpida?
I guess that's the brand name. And so we're thinking third-party Apple service provider Geekbar has shared a picture of what is said to be a 2 gigabyte Elpida RAM module for the iPad Air 2. The units shown appear to be similar to the 1 gigabyte of Elpida DDR3 RAM found in the first gen.
I'm getting it now. This is probably one of those teardown sites.
Yeah.
Or repair sites for like iOS devices.
Yeah,
and these guys, like,
that makes
source
sense.
Parts.
I bet that's what it is.
Japan.
Okay.
Or whatever.
And a quick bit of research on my part shows that Elpida was purchased by Micron in 2013. So it's actually Micron memory with an Elpida name on it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Also a Greek singer. The more you know.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And what was I typing in? Yeah, whatever. I can't remember. Maybe I'll come up with it later. It was, I don't know, some weird thing on 30 Rock / normal thing on Wikipedia. But
I just want to point out, I don't like the Geekbar logo.
It's all right. But so here's the most obnoxious / I hope it doesn't happen thing. It's comes out of a report that's, I'm not really sure why Mac Rumors brought up this website. And again, another one of these never heard of him websites called the Michael Report. It's not me. Don't know where they
Michael.
Came from, but they, so I guess that this article that I read basically talks about the idea that there are a lot of rumor sites out there that are claiming to have new information, but it's just really based on old information that they're aggregating in different ways. And one of the biggest bits of information that came out of the article from the Michael Report that they are sourcing is that the next iPad, the iPad Air 2, will not have a mute/ rotation lock switch because they just needed to make it thinner, so they couldn't put a switch in there.
That just seems wrong to me.
Yeah. Of course it seems wrong, because it's obnoxious. I mean, even if they got the iPad Air to be as thin as the iPhone still has a switch on the side.
Yes, it does.
And I think a lot of people use that switch on their iPads.
I use it all the time. Yeah. I have it set to rotation lock.
Me too.
Yep. And I use it. I use the crap out of that switch.
Yep. Every day. Multiple times a day. But it's based on a dummy unit, supposedly, of the iPad Air 2 that we saw, I think, months ago, maybe in August, that has a what seems like a place mark hole, you know, a little drill spot that where they just haven't bored out the hole for the switch yet. And that's how they're coming up with that information.
Okay. They're stupid. They're wrong. They're stupid.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. And yeah.
So, the Michael Report is because the writer is Michael Andrew, who apparently was a syndicated writer for all things D, Gawker Media, CNN, Reuters. Business Insider, BuzzFeed.
His last name is
covering
Andrew?
Covering Apple stuff.
Hmm.
Michael Andrew, yes.
Interesting.
But someone's misinterpreting what they're seeing in these photographs then, because there's no way Apple's going to release this without the switch on the side. And I know full well that when I come out and say something like, there's absolutely no way Apple can do whatever, then probably just to spite me, they redesign a product to do that.
Yeah, so, I hope that doesn't happen.
I probably screwed all of us, and now there won't be a switch. I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, that's all my fault.
It is all your fault. And so
I don't know what I did to piss off Johnny Ive.
I don't think you have pissed off Johnny Ive yet. Although I guess it's pretty easy to piss off Apple. You probably heard about the story with the, I think maybe I read this on Mac Observer actually, with the German site that bent an iPhone, and then Apple said, you can't come and see us anymore. We're not inviting you to things now.
Yeah, and see, I think there's more to that story than we know, because
that seems like
just not Apple's style to call a site and say, "Yeah, you pissed us off, so you're out." I mean, you know you're out when you don't get invitations anymore,
right?
And they don't return your calls,
right? Yeah, that's how they do it. They just turn their back,
right?
They ignore you. That's their style, and it hurts even more. Why aren't they returning my calls?
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
When did they return anybody's calls?
They don't. Unless you're Walt Mossberg.
That's true. Do you think they still send Walt flowers?
I think so. So, on the iOS front, let's see. So they seeded their second beta to developers, and there's really not a whole lot of interesting stuff, at least that I've heard of or seen personally yet. However, there is the Apple Pay stuff seems to be coming into shape, into focus in this beta, where I guess there's still you have to make modifications, I think. I don't think this is just out in the open when you download the beta. But when you open Passbook and you've made the modifications, it's more flashy, and you get a better description of what Apple Pay is, and you can take photos of your credit cards and put it in there. I don't think the service is on yet, so I don't know that it would actually do anything when you take a photo of a credit card, but who knows? More interestingly, though, and I'm not sure that this is exactly related to the beta. No, it is. Okay. Beta 2 has explicit support for HomeKit, and on the Apple TV, there's now HomeKit support.
Not surprising.
So now
that like totally fits in with the stuff Kelly Gaumont has been saying.
Yep.
She's been going on for what, months now, about
yes.
About how Apple TV could be the Nexus device in your HomeKit setup.
The perfect HomeKit hub.
Yeah.
How would that work? I'm not really following.
Well, all of your connected devices, if you're going to integrate them and have them sort of talking to each other and communicating with each other, you need a central sort of hub. And if you buy, you know, a kit from Insteon or some of these other companies that do home automation, there's always sort of a wireless Wi-Fi hubby thing that, you know, is where all of your scripts and your programming and all that stuff. It's like the control center. It's like the little brain for everything sort of working together. So you can like automate all kinds of different processes, either based on events or based on time, you know, calendars, things like that.
Yeah.
So an Apple TV, and maybe even, I don't know if Kelly's been throwing this out, but I've even thought, you know, an Apple TV merged with in like an airport base station sort of thing would be the perfect kind of hub for home automation.
I think it would make
sort of
more sense.
All that stuff together.
I don't know that it would make as much sense to do it that way. I mean, maybe.
What would you use? A Mac? Something that's got to be plugged in and turned on all the time?
No, the
You need a device that's always on, always plugged in, ready to go. And
why couldn't you just use your airport? Why wouldn't your Airport Extreme or Express do that for you? Because it doesn't have enough smarts in it?
That could, too. You could have both.
Okay. It could, but
doesn't run apps.
Yeah. And Apple TV can run apps.
Okay, so
Apple TV has a UI. You need to have a UI so that you can see what's going on with it well.
Okay, so paint me a picture of how this would go down. Read
Kelly's article.
Well, for the people listening right now who don't want to sit and listen through 10 minutes of silence.
MacObserver.com.
What would the Apple TV do? So you have some like maybe locks and lights and a thermostat all connected through HomeKit, and
sure.
You've got an Apple TV.
Yeah, yes. You can have a bunch of devices.
You have all your devices. So you can go onto your Apple TV and interact with those devices via your Apple TV. Hello? Still there? Uh-oh. I lost him. All right, everybody's back. We were talking about the Apple TV, what it would look like. We have all these devices plugged in around the house, and the Apple TV can be this hub for everything, correct? It's not something where you're controlling the Apple TV from another device?
Well, your initial setup you would do from another device or right from your television interface. But once it's all set up, then the Apple TV is operating essentially autonomously to manage your smart home devices.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess I just don't understand. So there's, it's like an active management, or it's something where it's a portal for you to go in and change the temperature on your thermostat?
Both. Potentially.
Right. Because, see, there's a lot of stuff, potentially, that you could have your smart home doing that would need to happen independently of your iPhone being around.
Sure.
And so your Apple TV is going to manage all of that.
Okay. So maybe bridging connections to the internet, that sort of thing?
Bridging connections to the internet, sure. And then when you're getting close to home, or there's some sort of interaction that your iPhone needs to make with a central point to trigger events in your house, then it targets just the Apple TV with the information, and then the Apple TV knows what to do, and it issues the commands to all the devices for you.
Interesting. So has HomeKit been officially rolled out yet?
No.
On the consumer side, it's not really something that works yet, but it will later.
Right. I think the spec for developers is available now.
Okay. And I guess it just now hit me that it's the beta that's out there for iOS is 8.1, which I think we only got to 7.1.2, right, with iOS 7?
Is it 7.1.2 or 7.1.3? I can't remember.
Yeah, it might have been 7.1.3. But yeah, they only got up to 7.1 really for the point releases. And this is, I would imagine we're probably not going to see 8.1. You think we're going to see it after the announcement? You think that's going to be sort of the bringing the new features of the iPad in and getting all the rest of that stuff, the laggard functionality that we've heard about but just hasn't been added, like the more continuity and all that stuff in the Apple Pay? That's what 8.1 is pretty much going to be?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. And then maybe some extra fancy features.
8.1 will be everything 8.0 was supposed to be.
Minus the bugs, right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
This is kind of how it goes with every operating system release that Apple does.
Yeah.
They get the big release out, and then a few weeks later we get the big update that fixes everything so that it's as it should have been when it first rolled out.
Yeah. Sounds good. So.
And I gave you Kelly's link in the chat, so you can throw it in the show notes for people.
Awesome. I will.
It's a good read.
Put that in the show notes for sure. They're in there right now. Okay, cool. So we have a lot more to talk about the Ginor pad. Maybe that's what we're going to call it. That's what I like to call it. And GT Advanced and a bunch of other stuff. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about our sponsor for this month, and that is Smile Software. We love these guys. These guys are awesome. And we've talked about Text Expander in the past. They've had Text Expander Touch on iOS for a long time, and now they have Text Expander 3 plus custom keyboard. Is that, I think that's what the, that's
Text Expander Touch 3.
It's listed as Text Expander 3 on the App
Text
Store.
Text Expander Touch 3, I think is how they list it. I can't remember.
I definitely pulled it from the App Store. It's Text Expander 3. It rocks. It's on iOS. And the magic, of course, is that you have the custom keyboard in iOS 8, which means you have access to all of your snippets, all of the magic Text Expander stuff in every single app. And that is awesome because I use it. I mean, I feel insane on a Mac that doesn't have, there are a few apps that I need on every install of OS X, or I will just go nuts. I won't know how to use the computer. One of those things is Text Expander. And because it has, I mean, I don't know how to type my email address anymore because I'm crazy. Part of it is because I need to have a camel case going on in my email address, and I just prefer to type e-email, and it goes pop, and it's right there. Or my full address with line breaks and all that stuff. So yes, while iOS and Mac OS X do have keyboard shortcuts built in that are similar to this, you can't even touch what Text Expander can do.
Can't do fill-in forms.
Can't do fill-in forms. You should go
with the built-in stuff.
I haven't actually gone through and done a fill-in form. So maybe you can give a quick overview of how that works.
Yeah, so in your snippets, you can actually put in variable data. So if you have one that you use over and over again, but there's certain parts of that snippet that need to change each time you expand it, you can put in text boxes, you could put in drop-downs, you can put in so that at expand time, so when it goes to do the replacement, what you get is a little pop-up with the little form fields, and you just enter in the two or three bits of information, and then when it expands, it's updated with that info. So like, for example, I'll have some for my signatures where I want to use maybe a different phone number each time.
Aha. Uh-huh. And you choose which phone number you want.
And you can put in a drop-down even, so you can just select the phone number for that instance if you're doing like an email signature.
Cool.
So maybe I want, you know, sometimes I want my Google Voice number in there. Sometimes I want my actual cell phone number in there, depending upon who I'm sending an email to.
Yeah, so it's basically like the standard snippets where you can have... so I have stuff where... Yes, you can just have static text. So I have a mostly static text stuff where I'm just throwing it out there, like my email address, home address, phone number, all that kind of stuff. And some of it can be multi-line, et cetera. And sometimes there's something where, actually, this is a really handy thing that I do. So when I want to do some debugging on Appler, for example, I can hook up via an SSH tunnel to my log files and then pipe that right into console on the Mac. But the thing about it is you have to hook up to today's log file. So I just have a quick Text Expander shortcut where I just type a few letters and it just auto-populates that one terminal command that I need with the date, the current date formatted perfectly for that application. And I just hit return and it's all hooked up and ready to go. It used to be a giant headache for me until I realized, oh yeah, I can use Text Expander for that.
That's really cool.
So you can do dynamic data. There's tons of different stuff. Let me pull it up right now because I figured out how to do the dynamic data in it just before we started. So you can, in the app, on your phone, or on the Mac, so you can, this thing syncs via iCloud, or you can do it over Wi-Fi if you don't. Did I say iCloud? Does it do iCloud, or is it just Dropbox?
I do Dropbox.
Yeah, I do Dropbox syncing.
Okay, so it's Dropbox syncing. But you can do it over Wi-Fi as well. So there are also tons of little macros that you can use, that you can insert on iOS and on the Mac, and it works universally back and forth. So you can do date, time, fill in field, snippet, and you can format all of this stuff, this dynamic data, in any way that you want. You can position your cursor to a certain point, so you expand everything, and so you're just going to say, like, this is probably an old school way to do it, but maybe if you're sending an email to somebody and it's the standard same email over and over, you can say hi, and then just leave it blank, and then the rest of the message. And once it expands, it then puts your cursor back to the high space, so then you can just type in the person's
name. And that's the perfect space also for, yeah, like you said, yeah,
for the fill-in
old school way. The new school way is fill-in form. Just a name variable field there, and then it'll automatically jump to that after you expand it.
Yeah. You can also use your current clipboard. So maybe you, so something that I do on the Mac is I still need occasionally a tiny URL. So I just copy the URL I want to shrink, and then I type dash tiny URL, and then it actually does an Apple script in the background. And so it sends off that URL to tiny URL and returns the result, and then just pastes it in the place of the URL that I wanted.
You never grabbed their they have a built-in set of snippets for doing
shortening
URL shortening.
You know,
so you copy the URL and then you do the text expander snippet, and it'll do all that stuff automatically for you. It'll make the tiny URL for you. So if you want to use Bitly or tiny URL,
I think that's what I'm using.
Very cool.
Yeah. So tons and tons of stuff. It's awesome. So it's right there at your fingertips all the time in iOS when you grab the app. So it's Text Expander 3 plus custom keyword is what it's called. It's $5 and it is so worth it.
And it's worth everything.
It's so worth it. Yeah. To just have it there. Switch over real quick. Type your thing out. Do whatever. Get in, get out. Makes it fast, and it's especially good on iOS because, you know, you don't want to be typing all that stuff. So check it out. They're awesome, and we're very pleased to have them as a sponsor. So the Ginor pad.
Ginor. The Maxi pad?
I like that one better. Let's go with Maxi pad. So this goes back to what we were talking about last week. So it's a report from, according to DigiTimes, they're saying that the 12.9-inch iPad may feature an operating system that integrates OS X and iOS. And I think that it's that vague because they don't really know what it's going to look like. And that makes a lot of sense because typically the software side is a lot more difficult to get a bead on because that happens under the confines of Cupertino, really. And the hardware stuff is really what leaks out because that's has to be built overseas or is.
Yeah, and, plus a bigger pad is better at handling your heavy data flow days.
It's very true. It's a good point, Adam.
Oh, my God.
So,
all right. The whole idea of
heavy data flow?
Of heavy data flow. Oh, my God. The integrated iOS OS X operating system thing?
No,
I'm calling fake on that.
No, I'm calling yes. I'm calling yes. And this goes back to what we were talking about last week.
Apple is not going to make a Surface tablet, and that's basically what you're describing.
No. I think people are misinterpreting what this means. Okay. I don't think it's what everybody's fearing. I don't think it's Surface. I think that it is exactly what you would expect Apple to do with a bigger form factor. Because when you get up to that big of a size, you have to have a reason to make it that big. If you're just stretching the current iPad, there's no reason to make it that much bigger. You have to add more desktop-like features to this platform in order to make it more useful, in order to justify that size. And I think that's what they're talking about. Things like multi-context support, like we were talking about last week. More slick ways of inputting information.
Yeah, there has to be some UI changes. This has to be sort of like the treatment they did with the UI for the iPhone 6 Plus.
Well, I hope it's not that limited.
But apply it to an iPad where it's got a little more of a desktop experience to it.
Yes. Yeah, so like with the 6 Plus, they were kind of bringing in features of the iPad. Same deal, bringing in a little bit of the features from the desktop. But it's still going to be, I think, fundamentally iOS. It's going to feel like it should be, like it is an iOS device. It's just a bigger iOS device, and it just inherits more features because of the bigger screen. More productivity kind of things.
That's a much more plausible explanation.
Yeah. I think saying it the way that they're merging OS X and iOS, as I think has been the rumor for many years, is a bad way to put it, because it reminds us of bad things of the past.
Well, yes. And Apple is smart enough. They're not going to go down that path.
Yeah. It's a bad path.
Yeah. Merging is the bad word there. It's,
marrying?
Apple is I would say adapting the experience to fit the specific form factor, which is what they did with iOS originally.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They took the core of the operating system that they had and adapted it and made it appropriate for the device that they were creating the operating system for.
Yeah.
Then in that case, the way people are describing this is completely wrong just across the board.
Right.
They should be describing it as it's a larger screen, and there are different ways that you can interact with your content on a screen this size that makes it more valuable than just simply having a bigger screen.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Michael's absolutely right. I mean, to have that big of a screen and then just have iOS that's stretched out for that doesn't make any sense. But I think we can see from the iPhone 6 Plus that Apple thinks about these sorts of things, right? They say, you know, you've got extra space here. Let's not just make it zoomed. You know, we can do the zoomed thing and that works to get us by, but really where the power of that device is in the UI that is going to be leveraged to give an appropriate experience for that form factor. And they'll do the same thing with an iPad Pro or iPad Plus or MaxiPad, whatever we're calling it. The only thing about the iPad, large screen iPad thing is I don't think it's happening this year.
It doesn't seem like it. Yeah. So the other rumor is, and I think this is from Wall Street Journal, right? They're saying that due to the demand of the iPhone 6 Plus, Apple has decided to not derail the current manufacturing chain. Well, maybe this is a factor, or maybe it's software. Software may be a bigger factor than anything else, right? So maybe iOS 8.2 is where we see all of these extra features for the MaxiPad.
I think they're just trying to. I really think they're grappling with probably a lot of the same issues that I have with this. The concept is, I still don't see, even if you tweak the UI and that sort of thing, I don't see where the market is for this device.
I think it's all about obviously a MacBook Air. So if you're a person who has
we talked about this last time too, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You want to bring something around, but you don't want it to be a MacBook Air, but you still want it to be light and powerful. It's tough. I mean, if Apple's really cracked come up with something where there is a space between the MacBook Air and the iPad Air, then that's what this is going to have to be.
I mean, I think they've been playing with this form factor, and I think what they realize is, they may have the answers to what we're asking, but I'm not sure that the purchasing public at the moment understands it. Ready to understand it or ready to grok it.
You know what they'll understand? Dollar signs. If it's significantly cheaper, so the MacBook Air entry line is $1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 1,100? Something like
no,
that.
No, I think it's under
1,000. $1,000. Okay. So $1,000 for a MacBook Air. The iPad Air is $500. If they make one for $700, they might have something there.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's just the thing.
I mean, for what it's worth, I do see a lot of people with these crossover devices or whatever they're calling them. These things that are not quite notebooks, but they're not quite tablets that can kind of convert between the two that flip around. I've seen maybe one of the ones that flip around. But I think that the primary thing is they want a little bit of extra power beyond what a tablet can provide, but they don't want to spend a whole lot of money on a MacBook Air or thin light notebook.
I think whatever they come up with is really meant to be almost a MacBook Air killer. and they're going to get the MacBook Pros thin and light enough and at a low enough price at that $1,000 price point entry level. You know, I think that's why we've been hearing, you know, rumors on that side, because those have been getting closer and closer to the Air in terms of lightness and those sorts of things. So I think you have, you know, for those people that it's all about ultra portability, but in a pro, you know, machine that they can really do some work on, I think that's maybe where a 12.9-inch iPad comes into play if it's well thought enough. And again, like we were talking earlier, the software makes sense.
Yeah, the software really is the killer.
So I could see see the MacBook Air at some point going away, and what you have is if you need a 13-inch form factor thing that's all about just ultra portability, we've got this Pro iPad and it's got all these features. If you need the next step up, it's a MacBook Pro, and here's a 13-inch MacBook Pro that's super thin and light as well.
Yeah.
You know, and
I could see something like that happening too.
Decide which camp you're in. Yeah.
But having both
doesn't make sense to me. Having a 12.9-inch iPad Pro and having a MacBook Air that are essentially the same price is confusing to me. It's baffling to me.
Yeah, we'll have to see. So, let's see. There was this one story I just wanted to point out for everybody. In case you haven't seen it, there was one of those seemingly legit prototypes on eBay. So it was of the iPhone 6 on eBay. The auction was killed. It's still up there. So if you want to take a look at it, I've got the link in the show notes. It's pretty cool to take a look at the screenshots and what it looks like, etc. And for what it's worth, one of the screenshots that I saw on here has that gear that I was talking about when we saw when the guys put together an iPhone from all the parts. Mm-hmm. And they started it up, mm-hmm. and it had that little gear that I thought was kind of strange because it wasn't what Apple typically did with the startup screen. It's usually an Apple. This thing has it. So I think that kind of lends credibility to that as well, and maybe illustrates the fact that it had test firmware on that. So check it out. It's in the show notes. And with that, we're going to talk about our iDevice picks because Jeff needs to get out of here soon. So Jeff, what is your pick?
My pick is an app that came out just a few days ago, and it's called Adobe Shape. And I know there's a lot of people that'll be like, an Adobe app, really? But yeah, really. It's pretty freaking cool. So it's a free application, and pop it on your iPhone, and then you can take photographs of whatever. And on your iPhone, it will figure out where all the lines would be if this was a vector graphic, and then it creates that. So you can take a real photograph and convert it into a vector object so that you can then drop it into Illustrator or Photoshop or whatever graphics application you want to use, and you have a truly scalable vector image.
Neat.
It's really cool.
I imagine you could probably do some you could also just pull it from your camera roll, maybe save something.
Yes.
And pull it in that way as well.
Yes.
But I'm sure it's cool to just draw something and then get it in there.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So you could use it to draw something and have it convert that to a vector for you. I've been playing around with it, like setting up little Lego cars or taking photographs of leaves and stuff. Things that have good defined lines in them, and then I let Shape do its thing, and all of a sudden I've got these really cool vector graphics that I can use however I want.
That's neat. I want to play with that.
Oh man, I'm trying to remember what the app was in the 90s that Adobe had for this. They had a whole separate app that you had to buy, if I'm remembering right, Jeff. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yes.
We used to have a copy of it at the ad agency.
I know what you're talking about.
Raster images and basically convert them to vectors.
Yeah, and it was an app that it didn't really take off.
Well, and it ultimately became like a Pathfinder.
Yeah, it ended up becoming a part of Illustrator.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I wish I could remember what it was. It never did a really great job, but...
But it was a great idea, and now we have something that works with real world objects.
In your iPhone,
and
that's
all you
cool.
need is an iPhone. Yeah, it's amazing.
Someone will email us and tell us what the name of that app was. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name. It had a really specific name.
And I do remember that. I remember having a promo poster from Adobe for the app on the wall in the prepress department where I worked.
Oh, wish I could remember it. Oh, well.
Cool. Adobe Shape CC. And it's free. And I'm downloading it right now.
Cool.
So, Adam, what is your pick this week?
All right. I'm going to piss everybody off.
Okay.
Because you're going to get this app and then you're going to not want to stop playing it. And it's one of these apps that's a game that's one of the, like, super tough, a la, you know, and I never played Flappy Bird, but I would imagine it's as frustrating as Flappy Bird. But yeah. I picked it because it kind of has a Halloween theme. I figure we're in October. You should kind of have some Halloween-y kind of apps. And it's called Daddy Long Legs. So what it is you're this little hairy cube with really long, two really long legs. And it's like a physics game. So you're standing on a line, and I guess they kind of call it an endless runner. It's not very endless. It's actually very short runner, as it were. I guess until you figure out the pattern or how to make it work. But you tap, and one leg kind of goes forward, and then you tap, and then the other leg kind of goes forward. But the guy's all wobbly, and you try and see how far you can get him to walk. And I have fallen 123 times and made it to 28.82 meters. So beat that, folks. And it has Game Center support, so you can kind of challenge your friends. The only thing I'm going to say about it, it is free because it has ads. The ads are really big and annoying, and I wish they weren't that big. It's like a big banner across the top of the app. So I would have preferred to have paid 99 cents. As always, and not have these ads. I don't know if that'll be an option in a future update to sort of pay to make the ads go away. But I'm already super addicted. And it's a quick game, but it is going to be one of those that's really frustrating for a lot of people, I think, but then addictive. So it's kind of, you can punish yourself by playing this game.
Cool.
Punishment. Punishment. I like the graphics.
Yeah, it's got cool, simple graphics, but yeah, really frustrating and really fun. So, Daddy Long Legs.
And it's free.
It's free.
Cool. So, my pick is it's pretty functional. It's called Expires. I'm going to go with Expires Lite, but there's also a standard Expires app. But the idea with this is you have every now and again, there's something that you want to, like when I had my Beats trial, for example, I wanted to cancel it before the trial happened, or at least I wanted to be reminded or keep track of it in case I didn't want to keep it. So I think I set it in my calendar or maybe in OmniFocus or something like that. Basically, there's no good capture point for that sort of thing, and this takes care of it. So you can do a lot of different things. You basically say there's a thing, and then on this date I need to be reminded because it's going away. So you can put in like, hey, my credit card's going to expire, or you can do it, use it as like a countdown clock. So you can put in like, you know, summer break happens here, or you need to file your tax returns by this time, or you know, when like maybe if you were buying an iPhone and you weren't sure if you wanted to keep it or not, you know, you had 14 days to return it, you can put that in there, and it just gives you a nice little rundown. It'll remind you when you want it to, maybe 3 days before. It gives you a bunch of different options for that same day, one day before, etc. Yeah, and it's really as simple as that. And it's pretty handy for me right now. So it gives you a nice little overview of all the things that you gotta act on. coming up. So it's called Expires. I'm going to go with the Expires Lite. I think that maybe limits you to just a couple. But if you want to throw more things in there, just go for the Expires, the standard version. Or I think there's even an in-app purchase.
That's cool. So you can keep track of Apple Care and all that fun stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Driver's license, passport, smog test, etc. So yeah, check it out. And of course, you can find the picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes and tell a friend. We appreciate that. Feedback at theiosshow.com. I guess feedback at We Have Communicators still works. But you can be new and cool with the new email address. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Of course, check out Text Expander 3 on the iOS store because they're awesome. I think I bought it as soon as it came out. As soon as I saw it, I bought it.
And rightly so.
Gotta have Text Expander, man. And if you haven't tried Text Expander before, you really just got to try it out. I mean, you can even get a trial on your Mac and see what it's like and throw some stuff in there. It's really nice. So Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter. TMO Daily Observations is the podcast he is on and hosts every day, I assume.
Every day. Yep.
And Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member version of the show.
Yes. I've now fallen 153 times on Daddy and Long Legs.
Cool.
Haven't beat 28.82 meters.
I'm still stuck on 2048. I have not gotten 2048. I've gotten 1024.
So you're halfway there.
I'm halfway there. I got to do it all again in order to get to 2048. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. Find me on Appler, GETAPPLR.com/Michael. And we're all on there rating apps as we get them. So you can check that out. And of course, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. No.